Aye.
We are adjourned. Now I'd like to call to order a study session for the Mesa City Council for Thursday, September 12th, 2013. First item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on transit advertising. Councilmember Summers, you have to leave now?
I do. My apologies, okay. And I beg for your excusal. I have a meeting of SAFECOM. I'll explain the whole thing when I get back.
Okay. And I Thank guess you, what sir. We'd like to do is we would invite David to come up and sit here when he gets back. I guess they're giving him some details out in the hallway. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll wait just a minute until and he'll be able to come up and actually take a seat up here. And we will have for just as announced by way of announcement, we'll have a formal swearing in on Monday the 23rd, I think is when it is. Monday the 23rd, we'll have a formal swearing in of Mr. Luna, although he will obviously be functioning between now and then on the council. I think the best favor we can give for him is to, let's go ahead and get started. We'll start him off on a good note. That was a joke. Ms. Sorrell, are you leading this?
Yes, I am. Mayor, members of the council, several years ago, the Transit Services Department approached the council about implementing a transit advertising program to help build and maintain new bus shelters, use the revenues from the program to install new shelters along our existing bus routes. During the past year, Pam Alexander and Julie Howard have spent a lot of time talking to the different entities in the Valley that do have transit advertising programs, talking to different stakeholders to see if this was something that would be appealing to them. As a result of this research, we're moving forward with a recommendation or bringing a recommendation to you that would include issuing a request for proposals for firms to manage a transit advertising program in the city. Based on what seems to work best in the industry, it would be a five-year contract. And the program, the contractor would fund, install, and maintain the new shelters and advertising kiosks and be responsible for the advertising content. And then at the end of the five-year contract, those assets, the kiosks, would revert back to the city, so they would become our assets, essentially. This method requires no cash outlay, no outlay from the city to get it started. Here's an example of some of the kiosks that currently exist in different places around the valley, so you can see what they might look like at our shelters. The criteria that was used for where these advertising shelters would go is they would not go in areas that were zoned residential. They would an existing bus stop. There would be an existing bus stop that does not have a shelter or bench currently. We have a lot of shelters, bus stops out there that is just a pole and a sign. The stop would have to, any stop that, we do have some stops with easements that restrict advertising, so they wouldn't go, those stops would not be eligible. And it would have to be a stop on a major arterial, a local, collector, private road would not, a stop on that, those streets would not be eligible for this program.
Councilman Merchants?
I think I'm a little confused by this slide. Trying to understand your criteria. So it's only going in, I mean, you presented this in the negative. So you're only putting it in commercial areas.
Right.
You're only putting advertising in areas that already have benches and other accoutrements.
Right. We wouldn't put, for example, if we have a bus stop that just has a pole and the bus stop sign on it, we wouldn't put an advertising kiosk there.
Well, why wouldn't you use the opportunity to do advertising to get a bench there?
Well, that's what this would do. So the advertising, for example, we would put advertising on the bus stop, a bus stop at University and Country Club. The revenue from that kiosk, from that advertising kiosk, would fund a new shelter at a bus stop that just has the current pole, you know, to get that in there. So that's the whole purpose of doing the program, is to be able to fund new shelters in places where we don't have them, because we have a lot of places where we would like to put shelters, but we don't have the budget to put those in.
But then, well, I think where the council was going, but then you have the opportunity to do, if you have, the point is we didn't want to put a kiosk where you just have a pole. So if we are able to fund then a bench or a shelter, then of course, then that might become eligible for an opportunity to put the advertising also.
Okay.
We're just not going to put, it's kind of a evolution of that. We didn't want to put a kiosk where you just have a pole standing by itself today. With the hope of this program is we'll be able to expand the opportunities for.
I don't want to establish a program on hope. I want to establish a program that is going to be successful.
Right.
That will get more seating, more garbage cans, more shade at all of our bus stops. And so if that is the written into how this program is structured, that if you win this RFP and you do advertising, you will do the following. We will be adding the benches. Transit advertising works. It generates revenue. We know that. That's not the big question here. You know, but I look at the slide before and I see how Phoenix does it, and particularly from a design standpoint, I'm not that impressed. I think we can do better in Mesa from a design standpoint. I think we can do better from shade and benches and all that kind of stuff, and leveraging this advertising to do that. I've had conversations with people that do this kind of stuff for a living, and a lot of them are like, hey, you know, give us 50 sites and we'll put the benches in. We'll maintain the benches, we'll maintain the shelters, we'll maintain the advertising. We'll do it all. All of it goes away in a public-private partnership. I think there's some exciting opportunities. I just don't want to be locked in a box about how we go about this. We have a little bit more presentation to go, but those are going to be some of the things that I'm looking for, because we need more benches, we need more shade. It's a problem. You know, the other thing I'd love to see us consider is how do we get smart transit in place by having message boards that tell people, hey, the bus is 5 minutes out, instead of the, you know, you see people standing on the street corner, they're looking, peering down the street. You know, how do we get past that with the smartphone apps that can track a bus and tell you where it's going to be, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Just quickly to that answer, Valley Metro does have the Next Ride program, where every bus stop has a code, and you can you call the number, punch in the code, and it will send you a text when the next buses, three buses are going to arrive.
I'd like to add on this. This seems eerily like discussions and debates that happened 10 years ago. And I think we might be stuck in the past a little bit. Those were on the early days when the entire concept of advertising on bus shelters was controversial and was a big hurdle to get over. I mean, the thought that we would put advertising, oh my gosh, people were going to put pornography, and you know, you heard it all. You guys were here. You heard it all. It seems to me like we're way past that. I mean, the public has accepted advertising. We find out that it can be done tastefully. It can be done in a way that that does not diminish the area, but also it provides opportunities. I'm also worried that we're going back to what we believe were the restraints a decade ago and applying those today, as opposed to looking at opportunities. For example, what's offensive about putting a advertising on a collector street? I mean, you know, I look at Adobe, for example, or Pueblo. You know, those are collector streets, and I don't know that I would be at all offended, and I live right off of Adobe. I don't know that I'd all be offended by a really nice bus stop with a bench more than just a pole and a kiosk that had some very tastefully done advertising. I don't think anyone else would be offended by that either.
Well, right. Well, you know, just kind of a counterpoint, or, you know, there might not be enough eyeballs for an advertising agency to advertise there. You know, but I'd like to see a more market-driven approach than, you know, we're limiting it just to commercial.
But that means they are deciding that, as opposed to we're deciding that. Because what's
to maximize revenue, we got to
tap into the market. What's the rationale for saying that we won't consider a stop on a collector street?
When we first brought this to the council many years ago, it was
many years ago.
Many
there you
years
go.
Ago.
Okay,
that's
what I'm getting at.
Things is when we started broaching this. Yes,
that's what I'm getting at. When you first brought it to the council many years ago, and I understand why they were excluded then. This was a new concept. We were really trying to, you know, stick our toe in the water, and we wanted to go for some low hanging. Well, actually, there was no low hanging fruit, because even advertising in general on a major arterial was somewhat controversial. And if I recall specifically, I don't think that the council, I'm going back way long ago, I think they denied it at first, and it took more than one time for the discussion to actually allow advertising. Well now we're many years into this, and I don't get a whole lot of calls from people saying how disgusted they are with a kiosk with a billboard on it. And I know that in Phoenix they don't get calls. And for heaven's sakes, now we actually wrap our light rail and our buses in make them traveling billboards. And that was controversial. And that's happened since we came into office. And, you know, funny thing happened. The public outcry never happened. I think people are accepting that if it's done right. Mm-hmm. We have to say that. So, part of those, I appreciate what you're doing, but I sort of agree with the council member Richens that I think we ought to open it up and see what somebody who's creative can come in and offer us, and we can use this as an opportunity to put, for two things. Number one, to put improve stops where there are no improved stops, and also to improve existing stops that maybe can be improved. Because what happens if, for example, we have an existing, if we have an existing stop and someone wants to come in and put a brand new one or something in there, I would jump at that if they'll pay for it. Mm-hmm. So I would tend to have fewer restrictions than more restrictions simply because I think we're in a different era now.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess there's some technical changes that probably DB need. Excuse me, I have allergies this morning. I can hardly breathe. I'm guessing there's some technical changes to the zoning code and the sign ordinance that need to take place in order for us to empower this. So I think those changes need to be made in a way that give us enough flexibility that we can do a transit advertising program in anywhere. If it works, if the market accepts it, let's do it.
You're correct, Mayor Smith, Councilmember Richens. The zoning ordinance right now has a total prohibition against off-site signs. And so any kind of off-site advertising, off-premise advertising, right now the code says, no, you can't do it. There would have to be an exception created to that. There is a legal precedent for that. There's a Ninth Circuit case involving the city of Los Angeles that had a similar type of situation where they had a total exception or total prohibition, then create an exception specific to transit signs. It tends to be on point, and I believe the city attorney would back me up on that. The ordinance that we prepared and brought to the Planning and Zoning Board last fall, it has been a while, we presented some, we wanted to be explicit about the size of the sign and the placement of the signs and those types of things. It's not quite as restrictive as what has been discussed in the presentation. However, one of the things that it does do is it does restrict when the sign, the advertising sign, not the stop, but the advertising sign can be illuminated.
How about it can be illuminated when it's dark?
Well, what we basically said was it could be illuminated in commercial areas, but it wouldn't be illuminated in residential areas. And that's basically to try to address the questions of if you have a mid-block stop and it backs up to a home that backs up to an arterial street, we didn't necessarily want the additional illumination from the sign causing any other problems and we've had issues with that before.
We've had issues with that?
With what? With additional nighttime illumination bleeding over into a person's backyard.
But you don't have any transit signs that are illuminated back into a house now?
No, transit signs, but we've done it with streetlights.
Well, but streetlights, a transit sign is below a privacy wall. It's not 10 feet in the air. It's below 6 feet in the air, which is most privacy walls are 6 to 8 feet. So yeah, what would be the leakage? Just playing devil's advocate here. What would be the leakage if you have something that's basically ground-mounted?
Depending upon how it's shielded, and signs typically aren't shielded very well,
okay.
You tend to have there's a glow beyond just the direct illumination, okay. And that glow tends to bleed above the screen wall.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would tend towards a brightness standard instead of worried about if it's illuminated. For neighborhood people, lighting equals safety. So if somebody's standing in a bus shelter at night and there's lighting in that bus shelter from the illumination of even a sign or the shelter itself, people feel safer. To stand in a dark bus shelter, people don't feel safe in that instance.
And the restriction that's written currently in the draft ordinance would authorize illumination of the shelter itself, typically because that can be shielded and you can control the glow. Signs itself are a little bit more difficult because anytime you try to create a shield that controls where the glare from the sign goes, it tends to restrict the visibility of the sign. So you tend not to have those kinds of things.
But wait a second. But most signs now are backlit.
True. But you still get, there's still a glow. There's still I forget the term, but there's a luminous that kind of goes beyond just the direct illumination of the sign.
Now, there's a term the industry uses for how bright a sign is, and I don't know it, but you do, don't you?
Nits.
You know, so there's some measurement. If we could just have a standard of measurement for brightness, I think that would be a way to go. I mean, people look at advertising as part of the urban experience. It's not necessarily, but I agree, you know, there's always concerns about what's on the advertising, and we need to be tasteful right. and appropriate.
So, Mayor and Council, can I suggest this? I mean, why don't we just open it up, get it out there on the street, get someone to propose to us, and then come back, and then we can have this discussion, because we may not even know that this conflict even exists. Until
That's why I think with the technology, and I appreciate what you're saying, Gordon, but I can't believe that I've seen these backlit signs, rotating signs, what they do also. There's no way that those throw off more light than even a roof mounted or a ceiling mounted illumination for the shelter itself. It just doesn't happen. But we're not the experts on that. On the other hand, I don't want to give them a blank check, but I agree with Mr. Brady that let's see what the industry comes back with, and they may have answers to these questions that we have and that we don't know about.
Yeah, I want to put emphasis on creativity here. You know, the shelters that are around Phoenix look really dated and tired, and I know they're sturdy. You know, could paint out the graffiti fast and wash them with a pressure washer, and that's all good things. And we don't want things that are complicated and expensive to maintain. But yeah, let's really see if we can harness the creativity that is out there in the advertising world.
Well, the great thing about this is maintain is that the people that are building it are going to maintain it.
Yeah, potentially.
No, that's the purpose. That's
I think the purpose is, you know, that's part of what we're getting is we're not only are they cutting us a check, but they're also relieving us of the responsibility of maintaining the site. I mean, if we can increase the number of tastefully done bus benches and or kiosk or whatever, and be absolved of the responsibility of maintaining that, I say we look for whatever opportunity we have. I think this is our new world. This represents potentially the best of the public-private partnership.
Okay.
But once again, we won't know until we
until
we actually get a proposal back and see what the industry says and see how creative they can get. They may disappoint us. They may overwhelm us. I don't know. I'd like to see the latter.
Okay.
Any questions, comments?
The one other thing that I wanted to point out, the ordinance is drafted right now, the cap and the size of the sign is 8 feet high and 40 square feet. So the signs can be two-sided, 40 and the 40 square
and that's,
feet can be
on And that's side. Based on what? How did we come up with that?
The size of the sign, one, it's based on what the standards are used for the most part. It's the size that's a little bit larger than what's being used in Phoenix and Chandler right now. In addition to that, we wanted to use a sign that wouldn't overwhelm a residential area at the same time would be large enough to be seen in a commercial area without necessarily blocking visibility back into the commercial center.
Well, can't you have two standards? Once again, what we're saying is we have a one sign size, but we don't allow it in non-commercial areas.
The particular size that set as the maximum would work in the commercial district. They can be smaller in the residential.
Well, they can be, or we'd want them to be smaller.
They could be. The option is there that they could be.
I mean, if we're going to maximize the investment, I would say that once again, if you're on Alma School, or you're on Southern, and a car's driving by at 40 miles an hour, a larger sign, first of all, wouldn't be as intrusive, and secondly, would probably generate more interest from the industry, as opposed to if you're on an Adobe, you don't need a big sign. So right now we don't allow that on an Adobe, but if we're going to open it up. It would seem like we could go with two different sign sizes.
Well, by comparison, 8 feet high and 32 square feet is the maximum size for a sign for, say, for example, a multifamily project or for an office project, even on an arterial street.
Right, okay.
And this is actually the same height and a little bit larger.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that are we deciding the sign size based on what we're deciding or based on what? And I know the industry would want bigger and brighter. I get that. And we're not going to just open it up. But where are we in 2013 as far as what's worked? Because the good thing we have is we do have Chandler and Phoenix who have had their signs for and their programs for many years. You know, Phoenix has got to be, I mean, probably a decade. I don't know how long they've had their, it seems like forever. It seems like there's some lessons that we could learn from their experience, and I'm sure the industry has some insights based on what other cities have done that they would propose to us. And I guess that's my question.
And that's what it doesn't reflect.
This does reflect. Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking with Phoenix. Talked to some of the people in the industry. The sign size is pretty much a standard sign that's used among transit properties across the country.
That's good.
4x6. Right. So it's not. It's not. We're not limiting it because that's what we want. That's pretty much manufacturer standard.
That's where I wanted to get to. Is that that's really where the industry is and state of the art is. Now, as far as going into a non-arterial, do other cities have different sign size if you're not on an arterial, or do they just go with a standard sign and say here's the maximum you can put?
It's pretty much the standard, the standard industry, because you don't they don't really deviate a whole lot like.
Well, production and other production things, and yeah.
Yeah,
they're building a box.
Yeah, you can just mass produce the ads and put them in, and you get that cost run.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so we've gone through the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back and mention that this does include the opportunity to do advertising at the bike share programs, if that's something that the ordinance does address. The content restrictions, if we will, we're going to follow the same guidelines used by the City of Phoenix and Valley Metro. They're kind of tried and tested in the region. We do have the right to reject any potentially objectional ads, and you know, we're going to limit it to commercial transactions, focus the ads on those. So with your support today, we're going to move forward with the sign ordinance. We're going to issue the request for proposal later this month. Gordon's going to, you're gonna have to go back. And
I was gonna say, haven't we thrown a few?
You're gonna have to go. The ordinance considerations
into the. All of these things, I think, were presented to the P&Z board. I'll discuss it further with the City Council. Based on what you've told me, I don't think we necessarily have to go back to P&Z to get a different recommendation. I think we can make some changes, some minor tweaks to the ordinance,
okay,
and bring it back for your consideration for introduction.
We'd like to get the RFP out, though, for the.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree. And once again, the RFP.
Does it capture this discussion?
I'm sorry, what?
The RFP, will it capture this discussion in terms of creativity and all that?
Yeah, no.
Because I think the reality is the RFP may come back and we may actually go back and tweak the ordinance based on what we get back in the RFP.
Yeah.
I mean, if the industry comes up with something else that seems like a good idea, I'd like to have the opportunity to go back and say, well, that's
so
rather than just say, oh, no, you don't fit with our ordinance, which we do all too often in government.
Okay.
You don't fit with it. If they come back with a great idea, the idea is that we'd be open-minded enough to bring it back to council and say, hey, this came up in the RFP. Everyone mentioned it. We think it might be a good idea. It's not too late to come back and revise the ordinance.
So we'll put language in there that doesn't restrict them to comply with the current ordinance, but to encourage them to be creative and, you know, come up with
ideas.
Is that
okay, everyone?
Is that what we're looking for?
Okay.
So we're delaying introduction of the ordinance until we get answers from the RFP.
Yeah, because I don't think you know what the actual ordinance is.
Got it.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Based on what the discussion has been.
It's a moving target.
Is that okay? All right. I see nods. I see nods all over. All right.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and aim to get the request for proposal out by the end of the month and get the information back by early next year.
Okay. Thank you. I acknowledge receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Have a motion from Councilman Kavanaugh, second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Any reports? Okay. Mr. Brady.
Just a reminder, we have this weekend, Friday, we have the kickoff for the new season for Mesa Arts, Arts Center. And then we have our next study session will be next Thursday, the 19th, 7:30. Thank you.
Ms. Carrie Kent.
Mayor, just one question. I just want to make sure there's no questions on the JOC item that we had. We did have a contract, so I just want to make sure.
Make sure everybody saw it. You didn't have any questions. You didn't have any questions about it.
Then we're.
Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. I did skip right over item two, didn't I? All right. There's no questions then? Good. All right. Not that you're not important out there. But, all right, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Richens, a second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.